From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Tuesday, May 21st, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher Gnachishawa, Tuaksuk Newsom, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. On today's show, we'll chat with Sherry Snook from Cabin Door Productions about the August 6th concert here in Juno of the musician and his group, Michael Franti and Spearhead. NAMI Juno is here with information and inspiration in support of Mental Health Month. It's also Women's Health Month, and Search has information on that and their Wise Woman program, which helps to remove financial barriers that prevent folks from getting screened for potential health issues. And the Pottery Jungle is offering summer youth camps and other community classes. We'll find out all the details. Those conversations, plus Tongass voices, music, and more, coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Voice is trembling when your life needs mending. Don't give up when the hurt is near you. Don't give up when the world seems to be broken. I'm still hoping with my heart open. For a brighter day.
You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That's Michael Franti and Spearhead coming to Juno August 6th. It's a tribute concert for Buddy Tabor, but also will be Michael's first time in Juno. Some have been waiting years for this concert. Producer Sherry Snook was in Juno recently working on details for the concert, and join me in studio for this conversation. What's your favorite Franti song?
I like Brighter Day.
Brighter Day.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good one. This is Sherry Snook, and she is presenting Michael Franti and Spearhead in Juno on August 6th, 2024. Sherry, it's so nice to have you in the studio today.
It's so wonderful to be in Juno.
Yeah.
And so what to do this?
What brings you to Juno?
Well, right now, I'm here just putting some pieces together to this beautiful picture of an enormous show that's going to happen here. And it's a gift and opportunity to be able to do this. Michael Franti is so excited to come to Juno because he's not been to the Capitol. This will be probably his fourth time to coming to Alaska, but he's not played here. So he was absolutely on board as soon as he heard about it. So he's very excited to come to Juno and do
the
show.
That's so cool. Well, let's go back a little bit because I know that you have Cabin Door Productions and that is your production arm. And so tell me a little bit about that first.
Well, for over 20 years, I've been doing community radio in Northern California, and I have produced radio shows with Alaskan music. And because of Buddy Tabor of Juno, how he got involved was the prison doctor at New Folsom Prison was listening to my show. And he heard Buddy through Katie Bosler's interview. And it was just after Johnny Cash had passed away. So he created a song called Tough as Nails. And then Karina Delgado, a poet from Anchorage, they were both on the same program. Well, the prison doctor called me at 5 a.m. He's like, I just got into the prison. I've been listening. And can Buddy Tabor come to the prison to perform? And I was like, I don't know Buddy, but I looked him up and found a house painter in Juno. And I called him. I said, Buddy, you don't know me, but they're loving you here in Northern California. And the prison wants you to come into the Arts and Corrections program. And he goes, I'll be there. When? And he got on a ferry And he came down and he came into the prison with Albert McDonald. And it was the first time I'd ever been into a prison. And Buddy was amazing. And then I sat there and I thought, oh my gosh. I asked around the room, I said, you guys ever heard of Michael Franti's Spearhead? These guys barely even knew Johnny Cash. So they didn't. And I called Michael Franti's Spearhead when we left the prison that day. And then after that, I started producing Alaskan musicians, Melissa Mitchell, and her entourage of people started coming into the Arts and Corrections to not just perform, but do workshops. And then Buddy kept on coming every year annually to do workshops. He stayed with the prison director. We've done house concerts at the prison director's home. Buddy was treated so amazingly wonderful. And so since then, there's been over 200 plus musicians that I've been able to filter through the prison arts program that has started with Buddy. And to have Michael Franti go into the prison, it was like a year later, and we did a National Historic broadcast on our radio station, and we maxed out our listenership throughout the world. And since then, things have changed in the California prison system, where there's many, many programs, and now there is no more life without parole. Every person that has been sentenced to life without parole, they have a chance to have their sentence commuted. So because of the music, because of Buddy, and because of all the music that has taken place, I have produced concerts on the side in the prison from Alaska, nightlife, you know, performances through radio. Buddy Tabor did a concert and we did a live broadcast, and it's just morphed into just something amazing, and it has changed lives for the better. And these guys that are still in prison and those that have exited, they have benefited greatly and they continue. And Buddy Tabor is definitely like an icon in the prison system and will be remembered forever. So this kind of like ties it all together, having Michael Franti come to Juno. And we are doing a tribute to Buddy for all the work that has happened because of his first time just getting in his car, getting on a ferry and coming down and just being who he was and was well loved. So Cabin Door Productions says this is like the first Cabin Door since I've moved back to Alaska 3 years ago to do an event to this caliber in Alaska, besides live broadcasts with other musicians from Alaska. So this is super exciting, it's beautiful, and it's just meant to be. And that's why Michael said, absolutely, yes, I want to go.
That is so wonderful. Yeah, I know that the Buddy Tabor project just launched where they're trying to get all of Buddy's music. He's such an icon in Juno. And I know that he loved going to the Folsom Prison every year and it became his thing. He's also a big part of the Alaska Folk Festival and all his music wasn't available online. And so this Buddy Tabor project has started doing that. They've just released the first album, Blinding Flash of Light. You can find it on all the streaming services, so that the next generation of folks listening to music can find it, right? Of course, you can find Michael Franti and Spearhead all over the, as well on all of the streaming services. And it sounds like it's going to be a really great tribute for Buddy, but it's also a really nice feature for us to be able to have Michael Franti come to town. And I know that I want to get this out there too, that KTOO is a media sponsor on this.
Absolutely.
Full disclaimer. This isn't a fundraiser for KTOO. We are just helping because we love Michael Franti so much. And we also love Buddy Tabor so much. And so we're helping out with some of the media sponsorship.
It's such a gift back to the community to bring what the world over has witnessed and some people who've not witnessed him. Even I always believe in live music, it's something to see. You can hear, but to be in the presence of someone. And Michael Franti is one of those presents that you'll never forget, and you will become part of the Spearhead family when you come to the show.
So tell me a little bit about, for those who don't know Michael Franti, tell me a little bit about the style of music. We're going to hear some of it, but just tell me what it is.
Well, he is not reggae. People profile him because he has dreads and whatnot, but he He plays alternative rock, jazz, blues, and he may end his show with Bob Marley. That's about all the reggae. He may have a few beats in there, but I have been, I can't count. Maybe this might be my 20th show I've seen and been with Michael, but I have witnessed every single time the love in the room, the unity. It just feels right. It feels good. You feel connected. You feel hope in the world. And if we can just bottle that up and take it with us when we leave, and that's when we become part of the Spearhead family. And we do that. We play more Spearhead. We're more loving to each other. We care about people. Michael's been barefoot for over 20 some years. And it was a project of knowing that people didn't have shoes. And I can't remember which country it was, but he will be here barefoot. And he, that's his mantra. He's just, he's very down to earth. He's actually, there's a film, and I'm hoping that here in Juneau, we can play this in the theater here, but he did two documentaries, and his latest one is called Stay Human. He has a Stay Human album, but the Stay Human documentary, Michael produced and directed himself. And it's about finding people in despair in wherever it would be, in Indonesia during hurricanes, or some of the African people that have gone through like literally nothing. And he found hope in places of despair. And he just, he creates a space to where we all are one. We are all one people. And together, we can do anything. Nothing is impossible. Everything is possible. So this film is about finding that hope again and just connecting with people that we may normally not ever meet. But when you have this path to have, be of heart and soul like Michael, he's a very beautiful presence of a human being that no one will ever forget. And so to come to the show, you will be fed that, and you will be dancing along with the gentleman that may be 85 years old on the side of the stage, to the 5-year-old that have that same moment of knowing this is just a really beautiful, hopeful time to be together as a family.
Yeah, the music has that sort of, there's just something about, it's a positive, right? It has this sort of positive feeling. It makes you warm. It sort of washes over you. And like you said, it's really sort of, you know, wrapped in love, you know?
He is the whole gambit. You can be angry with something, and there's like songs you can like get it out. And then there's the love songs. There's the messages and battling racism and humanitarian levels of what we do as a person. He just brings it, ties it all together. And his bandmates, like Carl Jung, they've been together since the beginning. And Mona Sintian is from Nigeria. He's been his drummer forever. And they have a very unique sound that you can't, it's not just loud and crazy. And it's like, you just feel it. It feels really good. And Michael will speak in between. He brings people up on stage. He involves the kids. He loves the kids. Those kids will be on stage. So get used to the song Sound of Sunshine, because they'll all be up there and it will just be a real love fest.
I love that. So let's talk about the event in particular. It's Michael Franti and Spearhead. It's coming to Juneau. It's August 6th. It's an all ages concert. Tickets are available on Event Bright. If you just search Michael Franti Juneau, even on just Google, it will come up in terms of that. It's on Tuesday, August 6th. It's a Tuesday, and it's August 6th, and it starts at 6:00. And I want to talk about what we can expect there. What is the concert going to entail? Because I know there's going to be some other things, right? There's going to be some food and some other vendors and things like that.
Yeah, we want to just make this be like the festival. It could be raining that day and that night. We want to go inside. We're going to shed all that, and we're just going to be in the spirit of just having a great time. We're going to have all kinds of little special things for people to like wear. There'll be face painting, you know, come early, get your face painted, and be a part of just looking like you're in a festival scene. You can wear whatever you want. You can wear your tie dye. You just like let the bars down, and kids are going to be there to have a great time. They're going to be running around dancing with the old generation, the new generation, eclectic of all generations of people. And so the doors open at 6 and then the show will begin at 7. We're waiting for the surprise of who will be opening. But I think it's going to be quite a wonderful, magical, extended event that we're planning. So stay tuned for that. There's also going to be, I do have one of my artist in New Folsom Prison. Well, he's not there, but he is a magnificent artist, and he has drawn some art of Buddy Tabor that will be presented for to purchase. You can buy some prison art. You can buy this portrait of Buddy, and those proceeds will be going to his wife, Jeanette. All those years, many years that he came down to California, and she had to lose him for a little while. And now that he's gone, we'd like to like give back a little bit, and to do that in between Jeanette and the prisoners, art is going to be something to really see and be able to purchase and have, and bring Buddy right back into, you know, just being grateful for what he did. And he would just say, oh yeah, it was nothing, whatever. But, you know, it was something very big.
Yeah. And it's so nice that Michael is going to sort of be giving a tribute to that. And I think that the Juno audience will love that. I mean, Buddy is an icon. It'll be a wonderful tribute.
If Buddy never, you know, said yes, I wouldn't have done a program in the prison to bring so many Alaskan artists and to bring Michael Franti and to do this huge national historic broadcast from the prison. It was the day before Thanksgiving. And those men in blue have never forgotten it. Mm. And they live remembering that day. They will remember it forever, and it has sustained them and will sustain them whether they're free or they stay in the prison forever. It's something that they know is wonderful, and they just become better people because of it.
Well, music has that power. You know, music has that power to move people, to change people, to stick with you. And so we look forward to this concert. It's going to be on August 6th. It's Michael Franti and Spearhead. It's being presented by Sherry Snook from Cabin Door Productions. And you'll be hearing about it more over the summer. And we look forward to it. Thanks so much for coming in today, Sherry.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. If anyone wants to volunteer.
Oh, you need volunteers.
Hook up with us. You know, okay. you can email me at ak907@gmail.com. You can give me a call at 530-687-2266. Sign up. There's all kinds of things that you can do, and bring your family. And I encourage everyone just to be involved in any way. There's lots of opportunities, and to make this a really together. We can make this a really incredible event.
Sounds so good. Gwyneth Cheese for coming in.
Thank you.
Why is everybody in the world seem so divided? Why is everybody gotta hate each other? Who decided? If I took all the world's pride and all the world's money and wrapped it in a blanket and put it in a buggy, could you see that maybe that baby was just the same as you are? You know it's never been easy. Every day for everybody ain't breezy. And I hope you realize when you look into another person's eyes, you know today would be a very good day, just to have a good day. You know today would be a very good day, just to have a good day.
Oh yeah, Good Day for a Good Day by Michael Franti and Spearhead. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. May is Mental Health Month, and joining me now is Executive Director of NAMI Juno, Aaron Surma, to share not only information about this month, but also a little bit about his own personal journey. Gwyneth Cheesha Yigudi, thank you so much for coming in today. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. Welcome back. Wasa Iyati, how's it going, Aaron?
Things are going well. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Good.
Thanks for the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So just quickly remind us about who NAMI Juno is.
Yes. So we do a lot of different things. I guess I think of us as kind of gap fillers in the mental health world, right? There's a lot of organizations that provide treatment and medication, and there's a lot of other things that go into feeling mentally well. like support groups, right? Like free drop-in support groups. Advocacy, trying to affect change at the state and local level. We do a lot of presentations to youth, and we provide a lot of information about how to access mental health services in Juno. So I think that's the number one thing I want people to know about us, is if you have a question about how to get mental health help, we're a great place to call, email, send a message on social media.
Yeah. And so any question you have, you call NAMI Juno and they can answer it for you or direct you in the right place, you know, the right place to go. And so tell us a little bit about Mental Health Month.
Yeah. So I think the idea, like all the many months that exist, the many themed months that exist, is to get people talking about a topic. It gives us kind of like a push as an organization to be a little bit more public. My coworker Merrill wrote a great My Turn article a few days ago. And I'm here right now talking. So it's just a little kick in the pants for us to talk about mental health stuff. And I think people are aware of mental health. It's a topic that's discussed often. And I think we talk about it as a problem. And I think, like me personally, I've spent a lot of time thinking about my mental health as a problem. Like I have depression, I have anxiety, I have ADHD, and I can get like focused on it and dwell on it. And so I think this month, what I'm really trying to do is talk about like recovery, the way to feel better from those mental illnesses that you might be experiencing that make your mental health a little bit worse.
I see. Yeah. And it feels like the mental, you know, where they always say, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually, you know, kind of in your body and all that. And it seems like the mental health has become a focus for, you know, a positive focus over the last few years, maybe the last decade or so, of, you know, kind of having, you know, work-life balance or, you know, allowing yourself to have a mental health day, which people call it, which is really just sort of taking a break from all the stress in the world that can cause you some anxiety. And I think we all have some level of anxiety in our lives, especially with the world as active and as busy as it is and available to us via our devices and, you know, and all these things. And we try to measure up to certain standards and, you know, which is, you know, some of that's such BS, right?
Yeah. And it can be a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah, it can be kind of a bummer and get you in a down mood a little bit. So, and what I love about your journey is in your bio for executive director, you're the executive director of NAMI Juno. And, you know, you talk about having been in therapy and in, you know, services for over 20 years. So tell us a little bit about that. Like, how did that start for you and that journey begin?
It started pretty rocky. So a lot of time spent getting arrested when I was a teenager. Mm. And at its worst, I was hospitalized after a suicide attempt. Mm-hmm. And that was when I had been engaged in mental health stuff before that, but I didn't really know how to. I didn't have like the language to even like identify my own emotions or know what I was feeling. I thought that like I was happy and the world was just a stupid place, which is just, it's funny to think back on that and realize how wrong I was in such a crucial way. And like, I'm on board with anyone else who does think the world's a stupid place, but I think I was definitely not happy. Yeah. That part is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so it's been a ton of trial and error since then. You know, like I feel like I was hospitalized for a while and kind of had a period of time where I think of it as like a ceasefire where like I wasn't getting as much trouble, but I wasn't really engaged in recovery. I wasn't engaged in trying to get better. And over the past, I'd say 10 years, maybe 15, I've like taken it really seriously and gotten really good at trial and error, trying to figure out what is helpful. I've had many therapists. And I think like one of the things I had to figure out was just, what are my expectations of therapy? Talking to one person for an hour is not going to fix my problems. It can give me some good insight. I can learn, like, you know, different therapists have different modalities or frameworks that they use. And so I can learn from the different frameworks of the different therapists that I've had. And I pick up a couple things every couple of weeks from them. And that's great. Like, that's a start. That information can kind of snowball and I can learn on my own and other ways to augment that information. Same thing with medication. Probably tried 7, 8, 9 medications. And at first I had like a cartoonish idea that a pill was going to fix me, not realistic. And eventually found a medication that prevented me from having like really severe troughs of depression that came on for no specific reason. And great, like that doesn't solve all my problems, but it's awesome that I have a pill that does one thing pretty well that prevents unpleasant things from happening. Like, great, that's a start. That's a piece of a whole recovery pie, for lack of a better analogy. And lifestyle changes are another thing. Just trying to figure out what things I can do that feel good in the moment and pay off later. Like, sleep is hard. You know, racing thoughts at 10 p.m. and you're tossing and turning is a real bummer. Exercise helps with that. So getting more exercise has been an important part of just building it into my daily routine to help me get to sleep. So that alleviates one of the negative symptoms of anxiety. Finding purpose in the world helps to alleviate some of those negative symptoms of depression. So like having a job that is meaningful to me, where I feel like I can be helpful to other people, that purpose helps alleviate one of the symptoms of depression. Teamwork is nice, to not feel alone. I play a lot of sports. I'm not particularly great, but I like being on a team. It's fun to have teammates. It's fun to have people rely on you and you rely on other people. I find that teamwork in other ways as well. Bushwhacking through crummy trails.
yeah, for sure.
It's that teamwork feels good. It makes you feel connected. Connected is healthy. The opposite of feeling alone.
Mm. And then you got to, so is this now the work that you're doing now as executive director of NAMI Juno? Is that sort of, how did you get to that point in terms of, is it you wanting to give back now as you've sort of been getting to this point in your life?
Yeah, I think it was a lot of trial and error for me to get to where I am, and a lot of hard bumps along the way.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of those hard bumps were avoidable if I would have just had some basic knowledge and support in my life.
Mm.
And I didn't even know how to ask for that. So like even just knowing that those things could exist, you know, I didn't have a model for that, no role model for finding help. And so, yeah, it feels like these are largely avoidable problems. And if I can be a part of somebody else avoiding those problems, then it feels like a great place to be in the world.
Well, and you mentioned support. And I think that's one thing we want to make aware for this month, is especially, or just all year long. But, you know, you have a variety of classes. And can you tell us a little bit about the variety of classes?
Yeah. So we have a calendar on namijuno.org that you can see all the stuff we have going on. And we have a few different support groups. I think support groups are great. Like, you know, you're trying to do all these things. You're trying to find a therapist, or you have a therapist, or you're thinking about breaking up with your therapist. You're, you're going through medications. You're trying to journal more or do yoga or whatever it is you're trying to do. And it's nice to be able to talk with other people and just commiserate or celebrate or learn from them. And so we have a few different support groups that foster that. So we have a group that meets every Wednesday called Connection Support Group. That's to talk about your own mental health. It's free. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to keep coming or anything like that. We also have a family support group. And that's for people who are supporting a loved one's mental health. And that meets the first and third Thursday of the month. And we also have a suicide loss survivors group. So for people who have lost a loved one to suicide. And that meets one Saturday a month. And this upcoming Saturday is the meeting for this month. And so for all of those, it's just nice to talk about what's going on in your lives, to share and listen. You're not required to do or say anything. You don't have to talk. You don't have to walk in and spill your guts. I think that like AA meetings, as they're depicted in movies, kind of does this kind of group a disservice. You have to you see people like standing in front of a room and giving a speech, and that's not really what it is. It's much more casual and informal than that. Much more welcoming and easy to join. And for our groups, it's normally between like 4 and 8 people. There's a bin of snacks and fidget toys on the table and whatnot. And I think it's really helpful. It's great to commiserate with other people. It's great to share experience. It's nice to know that you're not alone in whatever you're dealing with. And that's something that we can offer with all of our support groups. And there are plenty of other organizations that have support groups as well. So if folks call us asking for help finding mental health services, we will mention our groups and also share all the other groups that exist in the community. And we have them all listed on junomentalhealth.org.
Nice. That is so good. And your website is NAMIJuno, NAMIJuno.org. And the phone number is 463-4251. And you can call for information, or you can hop on the website and find a calendar for all of those dates that Aaron mentioned. Thank you so much, Aaron, for coming in today and telling us a little bit about it. And, you know, it's one of these, you know, we make sort of light of these months that are named, but they really are there to sort of allow us to talk about it and bring awareness to these issues. So really appreciate you coming in, Gunthchish, for being here today.
Gunthchish.
Absolutely. Up next, summer pottery camp for ages 8 and up, plus other community classes from the pottery jungle. But first, this week's Tongass Voices. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
You're listening to Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Akwan and beyond. Kinnick Corin James is a Juno-based formline artist who first started selling her designs when she was 18. She learns from traditional formaline styles, but adds her own creativity and twists to them. Kinnick recently designed a piece called Auntie, and she told KTOO what inspired the design.
It's kind of like a stylized face in the shape of a teapot. So like the mouth would be the spout, and then on the back of the head would be a claw almost, or a foot, depending on how you look at it. And that would be the handle of the teapot. Something about me is just, I love tea in general, and I just became an auntie, so it felt very fitting. And I have so many aunties in my life that just hold me up and support me. And so I felt like it'd be a fun design to dedicate to all my aunties out there. Kinnick aya achsayi, ganachari ka getlan ganhara aya chay, kitchchan kamela kalakwandach. My Klingon name is Kinnick, but my English name is Corinne. And I'm ganachari and getlan ganhara from Ketchkin and Metlakatla. But I grew up here in Juneau, so. It's been interesting. I was definitely worried at first I wouldn't be like taken seriously, because sometimes it's like looked down upon wanting to live off of your art, or seen as like impossible. But I feel like the community here is so amazing, and everyone's so accepting, and they're so encouraging. But starting a business has been that has been interesting. There's lots of growing pains. I think I officially started my business when I was 18, so shortly after I graduated high school. I grew up here in Juneau my whole life, so I've always been surrounded by my Tlingit culture and heritage. But like growing up in as a native in public school system was kind of hard to be like proud of who I was. So it took me a while to actually get into art. But when the pandemic started and I felt very like disconnected from the world because everything was online, I couldn't talk to anyone in person. That's when I really started connecting to my culture again, and art was what brought me back. So for my inspirations, I become such a fangirl when it comes to our like women Indigenous artists. And Alison Bremner would be one of the first people I mention. Alison Bremner was the first artist to open my eyes to like the possibilities of what I could do when I grow up. Like when I grow up, I want to be like Allison. She's really cool. And growing up, I didn't really hear about women Indigenous artists, so it never really occurred to me that I could be an artist until I met Allison during a middle school Sea Alaska camp. And ever since then, I've just been like a fangirl. I feel like lately Juno's been impressing me with like Ock Rock and some more traditional classes like weaving and carving, and even like some harvesting classes, which has been pretty cool to see. And Sea Alaska's also been doing a really good job at offering these classes to the community. And I think UAS is getting there as well. But I feel like since the Indigenous community is, we kind of, you know, we're still learning about our culture as well. And so this has been like a learning experience for the community, I think. But it's been really cool to witness. Like, I feel so grateful to exist at the same time as like all these artists and all these really cool events that are starting.
That was formline artist Kinnick Corin James for this week's Tongass Voices.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Pottery Jungle recently opened in the space formerly known as The Canvas, and they are now offering community classes of all sorts and a special selection of youth pottery camps this summer for ages 8 and up, including a high school pottery intensive. And now I welcome to the studio Morgan Johnson and Giselle Miller to talk all about this Miss Gwyneth Chishaye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio. Wasa'iti, how's it going?
Thank you, Boston.
Thanks, Boston.
It's nice to have you both in here. I mean, Morgan, you helped me so much with my plants and all that. And I'm not, as they say, a green thumb. And I had a problem. I had some bugs and everything. You took the plant back and at the plant store and you just made it all better. And now it's like this thriving thing. It's growing in my office. It's like down on the edges. And I have a little newbies that are coming in on it, and they're just going to keep growing, and it's awesome. So thank you for that. I wanted to say Gwyneth Cheese for that first.
No problem. And if it needs another repot, bring it back on in.
Well, I bought the pots there too. It's a beautiful, they're just beautiful stuff. So the plant store has moved. So all of this is now, it's the Pottery Jungle and the plant store kind of combined into the space that we all know as the former Canvas area, right?
Yeah. The former Canvas in the Reach building across from Foggy Mountain's new location as well.
Gotcha. Right. Okay. And what was cool is you were telling me right before we went on air, like there's memberships that you offer and that you can have access at pretty much any time. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. Memberships get you 24-hour access to our glazes. We load the kilns. Our intention is also for people who have like pottery experience that are just looking for somewhere to do pottery. We'll also have it offered so people can sell their work on consignment, and that can also go towards their membership.
Ah, I see. That's kind of cool. That's really fun. Yeah, that's great. And then this idea that now that's a business, you've been going and now you're offering community classes. So there are people who need to know how to do this stuff, right? So there's like classes for adults,
people who don't have any experience in it or might have taken it back in high school, like 10, 15 years ago, want a refresher, no experience needed.
Or they've just seen Ghost, the movie.
Yes. They've just been inspired.
They're like, I want to throw some clay. That sounds really fun. And there's a cool, you can go on to the PotteryJungleClub.com, which is the website, and there is a link to pottery classes, and it'll tell you about the different classes for adults. There's beginning pottery and all different sorts of things. But today we're here to talk specifically about some of these summer youth camps that you're offering, these sort of day camps. And Giselle, you're sort of taking that on as like you're leading this thing.
Yeah, I have experience in K-12 art ed, and I also have become more focused on ceramics and pottery just recently in the last 5 or 6 years, and just really love doing it with students of all ages. And so we're together offering these sessions throughout June and July. There's going to be different sessions for different age groups. So a morning time, it's 9 to 11:30 is kind of the younger age groups. And we'll be offering a young potter's camp, which is ages 8 to 11, which will just kind of expose the students, these young artists, to all sorts of different clay media. So we'll be learning how to do pinch pots and slab building, and give them a little introduction to the wheel. And then I have a couple different sessions that are geared more towards middle schoolers that are actually going to be spending a little bit more time on the wheel and then doing some more advanced slab building. And then the last one that I'm offering is a high school pottery intensive. And the reason why I'm calling it an intensive, it's a little bit longer of a time period. And also we're really going to be focusing on students who, it can be either students who want to come in and just get kind of a crash course, or high school students who have already had experience in the high school classroom. Like if they've had pottery or ceramics at TM or JD or elsewhere, and really just want to like hone their skills, get some studio time and some one-on-one instruction, and just push their skill level past what they had before. So just giving them lots of time in a nice studio space where I can work with them one-on-one. So that's kind of the high school intensive week.
And all those sessions are happening basically in June, right?
We have 3 weeks in June. There'll be one of each in June, a young potter's junior kind of middle school, and then the high school intensive in June. And then there'll be two different sessions in July. So I like repeat the young session and the junior session in July. And all those dates are on the website. And if you do go to the website, you can click on Book a Pottery Class and it'll pop up all those different different dates and sessions.
And choose which one you want.
Yes. Yeah.
And the website again is?
That's
thepotteryjungleclub.com.
Yeah. Love that. and yeah, there's all kinds of dates. There is a fee for these classes. They aren't free. I'm assuming that covers some of the materials and things like that. And
yeah.
I think it's also interesting to note here that if you are interested, especially for your younger folks, you have these little notes on here, what to bring and what not to bring.
Yeah.
And I love these because what to bring is a water bottle and clothes that can get dirty if you didn't think that,
yep,
obviously.
We definitely get dirty.
And then a full belly, because what not to bring is food, because you're not going to eat the food around clay, because you can imagine get your M&Ms stuck in the clay and then you don't want to be eating that. And also no flip-flops or open-toed shoes.
No, that's hard. But
what's that about?
It's because we are actually in a working pottery studio space, and we have to be safe and think about our feet. And also, just from previous experience, it's not like the best feeling to get like wet clay in between your toes.
You would think it might be like sand or something, but probably not, right?
No.
Yeah, that is so funny. And it's awesome. And so is this the first time you're offering these camps? Obviously, I know the Pottery Jungle just opened. And so are the community classes also kind of newer for adults as well?
Yep. Just started that in April.
Okay, I see. And so is this like a test? Is this like to see what the interest of people learning pottery is, or is this something you're hoping that will continue as you go on?
We definitely want to add more midday classes, maybe geared towards homeschool kids, or seeing what the interest is. Yeah, this is just the beginning. So we're looking for hearing from the community and what they're looking for.
Yeah, I think we've done, so Alex Patello and myself have been teaching the classes, and we did one round of adult classes in April, and then we're just now in the middle of our May classes, and he will be continuing an adult class in June. And what I've been telling my students is that it's still like, we're still getting started. They are a little bit like guinea pig classes, and we ask them for a lot of feedback. It's like, would you be interested in, like, as a community member, would you be interested in doing a weekend intensive where you just do like a Friday night, Saturday, Sunday class? Or would you like to come in and do classes like once a week or twice a week? So we're really trying, like right now I'm doing a class that's actually twice a week just to see what the feedback is and what the interest is. So we want to be able to offer, you know, as many classes as we can and get people in the studio making amazing work and just like exposing people more to the amazing world of clay and ceramics.
I love that.
And making that, you know, available to them in different ways, shapes and forms. So we're hoping to also start offering some workshops like that are a little bit shorter and maybe more geared towards people who have had some experience with clay, but want to just come in and build like one thing, you know, like I want to come in and build a slab vase or a slab, you know, like pot for my plant or something, you know, like I want to come in and make an actual pot and work on that for a weekend. So yeah, we're definitely like in a big brainstorming time right now.
Yeah. And it's cool. Cause I mean, you could, like you say, you can make a pot for your plant and you can get the plant and you can have it all there. And is there plans, Morgan, to offer plant classes? Is there a way to do something like that?
Oh, absolutely. There's like things called African violet soaking pots that are like a two-part pot, which would definitely require somebody that has like beyond beginner pottery levels. So that's something in the future we'd love to have available in like beyond beginner classes where you come back after the pot is fired and then we do a planting session into it.
Yeah.
And then also like doing orchid pots and then doing planting orchids into them. There's lots of potential
I love the idea of the planting session afterwards. That's
yeah.
Fun.
It's like a complete cycle, right? That's kind of really fun and learning maybe how to like take care of your plant a little bit and, you know, prune it or whatever you need to do to make it fit in the pot or which size pot is supposed to be for what. I mean, I know I need that like in terms of just that kind of knowledge because it's things you think you know how to do, but then you're like, what do you do if, you know, that kind of thing. And it's great that it all came together. How did you all get the idea to put it together? Like the Pottery Jungle and the plant store?
So the kind of start of my business is that I started selling plants in pots that I had made at the university. And then that's how I got my first spot down lower on the street of Seward. And then I wanted access to the pottery studio that where we're currently at, but I knew that had been closed for a while. And so I was like, what would it take to like rent out this space? And they're like, to rent out the Pottery Zoo, they said you have to rent out the entire 4,000 square feet space in our building. And I was like, all right, cool. I'll move my business up there and figure out how to mesh this all together to make it work.
That's great. And you've also been so already welcoming to other community events. We were talking about it just a little bit ago before we went on air about how the Hydrate and Caffeinate during the Folk Festival, you had music in this space. And so being able to open it up for different events and like First Fridays and all that kind of stuff. So that's just really awesome. It's a welcome addition to downtown. And these classes that are available for anybody, basically adults and then ages 8 and up, especially the high school intensive that's happening in June. It's June 17th through the 21st. If you're interested, you can hop on to the website, thepotteryjungleclub.com, and you can find out more information. Giselle, Morgan, thanks so much. Good to cheese for coming in and telling us all about it.
Thank you, Boston.
Absolutely. That was really lovely. I love that. So up next, information and tips from Search in honor of Women's Health Month, plus details on a program called Wise Woman, which helps those who may need financial assistance. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Here's a little more Michael Franti with Say Hey.
Come down, Selecta.
I just wanna write a song about a boy and a girl. Junkies on the corner always calling my name, and the kids on the corner playing ghetto games. When I saw you getting down, girl, I hope it was you. And when I look into your eyes, I knew it was true. I said, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back home around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing, that I love you. Metaphysical man, but I know when the stars are aligned, you can.
Okay.
Bump into a person in the middle of the road, look into the eyes, and you suddenly know. Rocking in the dance hall, moving with you, dancing in and out of in the middle of June. My mama told me, don't lose you, cause the best luck I had was you. I said, hey, I'll be gone again, but I'll be back from around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. Listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO, 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. May is Women's Health Month. It's a month to serve as a reminder for women to be proactive about their health and schedule their checkups and screenings. And joining me now from Search are Megan Lamothe and Taylor Hartwick, who are here to share health tips for women, preventative care, and options for low-income, uninsured, and underinsured women to access those health screenings and patient navigation programs. Gunath Chishat, yay. Dee, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio today. Wasa Iti, how's it going?
Thank you.
It's going great. Thanks for having us.
Good. It's so nice to see you both, Taylor and Megan. Thank you so much for coming in. So let's talk first a little bit about just Women's Health Month overall. Like, it's not a good question to ask, what is it? Because it sounds in the title. But what is it for?
Promotion of women's health, which should be 12 months a year, but just sending the message more clearly and making sure women are aware of the benefits of getting routine primary and preventive health care and making them aware of how we try to remove obstacles to getting that care and what's available right here in the community.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like it's my birthday month this month, and I sort of use that as a way to like, that's my own. It's like Boston's health month. It's like, make sure you go and get all your checkups and everything done, you know, because it is something that people can tend to forget about as they go about their busy lives. And it's like, oh, it's been a year since I've done XYZ screening.
Yeah.
And so it's a good time to remind everyone that, yes, this is the time to check into that. And so what kind of services are we looking at here in terms of what are people going to be having access to?
At Search, we have two grant programs. One is Wise Woman and the other is Women's Health. And so we are providing financial services for women who are uninsured, underinsured, low income, who may have out-of-pocket costs, which may be a barrier for them as to why they're not getting their screenings done. And so our Wise Women program in particular, we serve women ages 30 to 64. We do have a income form, and there's no requirement for proof of income. And we go by household size and monthly income. And the Wise Woman program is primarily for cardiovascular health for women. So we do health coaching, blood pressures, we check cholesterols, we check for diabetes, things like that. We have passes that we give out, like to the Diamond Park Fieldhouse, so that women can be active. And then we have our Women's Health program, which is another grant. Both grants are through the CDC. And this is for women ages 21 through 64. And this includes the pap smears, the mammograms, any diagnostics that they may need if they have any abnormal results. And so we are just providing financial resources so that that is not a barrier for these women. So that is available. We do have the income form on our website. Like I said, no proof of income is required. Our website is search.org/service/wisewoman.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great website. And also, for those who don't know, Search is spelled search.org. Mm-hmm. It's easy to forget that as you're typing in or as Google tries to autocorrect, right? Search.org/service/wisewoman is a place. And there was an interesting note on that website, which I had not realized this, but it said cervical cancer can affect women of all ages. It's largely preventable and treatable with regular screenings. And that's one reason to get the screenings, right? Is to make sure that, so you think like, oh, I'm 22 or 23, it's not going to affect me, but it's still wise to go in and get that screening done.
Yeah, it's useful to remind women what screening actually means, which is going and looking for a problem even when there are no symptoms. So that this really applies to if we're talking about breast cancer screening, anyone with breasts. If we're talking about cervical cancer screening, anyone with a cervix, even if you have no symptoms. And the rationale for doing that is it's shown that we can catch things sooner and we can intervene sooner and have often really better outcomes with less invasive, less time consuming, less uncomfortable ways of treating and managing. So it's overall, you know, promoting quality of life and getting better outcomes, even in people who feel that they are healthy and don't have any symptoms of the illness.
I think folks who get to be in their probably in their 30s, they start to recognize, especially when you get to your 40s, I think you recognize. But at what age? I mean, I know this program, the last program you mentioned, was for 21 and up. Mm-hmm. And so are folks who are in their 20s, they should be getting sort of yearly exams in these areas?
First cervical cancer screening is indicated at age 21. If you are older than that, don't fear, you haven't, you know, lost the opportunity or missed your chance. We'll do a first screening, but really it's indicated starting at age 21. And then to your second part of the question, is it every year? The frequency of the screening is largely determined on your risks. And we determine your risk for cervical cancer based on the result of your first and subsequent screenings.
I see. Okay. And what about mammography or breast cancer? What do you do? Should you get that every year as well?
Yeah, that's an annual one, but it starts at age 40. Unless you have risk factors based on family history or personal risk factors, then you can start your screening earlier. But we start those annual exams at age 40.
Okay, I see.
And that's a great reason to come on in and have a primary care provider, which is my role at Search, and talk about what are the risk factors and are there any that apply to you that make earlier screening appropriate or a different modality of screening using some different kind of imaging appropriate given your risk profile.
And that, Megan, is part of what you're talking about in terms of your family history, and you would get all that detail. And if there's history of cancer in your family, then maybe the screenings would need to start earlier.
Mm-hmm, right? Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, that's amazing. And is there other tips besides screenings that we want to mention for this month? What else should we be thinking about? What should women be thinking about this month?
Great question. Taylor and I were brainstorming before this. My personal soapbox, and I think it's relevant for all women, is don't be afraid of resistance training. So someone call it strength training or weightlifting, sort of a misnomer because you don't have to have heavy weights to do it. If we had one intervention that would minimize the risk for cardiovascular disease and anxiety and depression and osteoporosis, and it would be resistance training. And so we have it, and a lot of people aren't aware of the myriad illnesses it can prevent or treat.
Interesting. Okay. Resistance training. I haven't heard of that. I haven't heard that term before. Is it basically stuff that like gets the body moving? Is that what that is? Or also just a little bit of like toning, as it would be called?
Yeah. Or muscle building. So training under resistance, and that resistance can be your own body weight. It can be resistance bands. It can be heavy dumbbells or barbells if you're experienced.
Ah, I see. I had to do some of that resistance training when I was recovering from a leg injury. So that's what, okay. That's what, I didn't even know that's what it was called.
Yeah. Metabolic illness, cardiovascular, mental health, osteoporosis. It's really an intervention that prevents and can treat so many illnesses.
Oh, that's so good. Is there phone numbers or websites that we want to give out to folks again to make sure that they have the information in case they have questions?
Yeah, of course. So again, the website for, you can visit the Search website, which is searhc.org. And to view the Wise Woman portion, it's the search.org/service-wisewoman.
Awesome. And you could come to either of our clinics. So people mostly familiar with Ethelon Medical Center, and then more recently, the opening of our Vintage Park clinic.
The new one out by Safeway.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. And then we also have Front Street Clinic downtown. For people that live in that area, that is also available. Search is going to be having more cervical cancer screening, papathon is what we call it, throughout the year. We did just have some in Juneau. We had one in Hoonah in February, one in Cake in April, as we are serving other communities, not just for Juneau. And then we have through the grant programs, we have the Mobile Mammo, which is a mammogram machine that goes to all the different communities also. And we're also serving the Glory Hall this year in Juneau. We're piloting that program. So that will be available to that population of women who also need screening, but may have barriers that are preventing them from doing it.
Awesome. Well, Megan, Taylor, thank you so much for coming in. Gun the Cheese, Women's Health Month. You can find out more at search.org. Thank you so much for coming in. Gun the Cheese.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, a preview of Our Past, Our Present, Our Voices, a multi-generational Indigenous art show. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a fantastic Juno evening.